I enjoy so much being with our Lord, and it's really precious when he decides that he just gets a hold of my heart to say, you know, you told him one thing last week, but you didn't know that I had other plans for you, because there are going to be some activity going on at GHCC. And the church family needs to pull together and help some folks. And it may be helpful to everybody in point of fact. Would you show that video, please? Would you turn your attention to the screen? Amen. Glory to the Lord. You know, we all need to give glory to him. And one of the core values of our church family is God-glorifying worship that we were participating in as we came before him. And one of the other of our six core values is biblical teaching and training. And so our Heavenly Father has something to say to us through God the Holy Spirit, through the word that he gave us. We're going to be looking at God's love and understanding just how relentless it is in pursuing us and how powerful it should be in our lives. Family, I want my teaching to call us, you and me, to want more of our God and Father. I want the teaching that the Holy Spirit puts upon my heart to call you and me to want more and more of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want with a sincere heart that the teaching that the Holy Spirit leads me in will call you and me to want more and more and more of God the Holy Spirit in our lives, for he is our guide and he is our teacher. And we have received this wonderful document that is the breath of God, his heart spoken to us. This is our roadmap for life and what we are to participate in living, not simply knowing, but putting it to work in our lives for his glory and his Son's honor, and so that we stop grieving, and some of us even having quenched God the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want for me and I want for you to live in such a way that the breath of God is just flowing in and out of us. Jesus came humbly as a servant, and he demands that you and I, you who are genuinely Christians, he is calling you and I to live in the way that he has demonstrated we are to live in this beautiful, holy book that he has provided for us. I want so much for us to understand humility. I know too many Christians that are arrogant. Arrogant. They have the audacity to contradict Christ in his word. It's like they know better than he does. Really? I can understand disagreeing with our Heavenly Father. I have disagreed with him on any number of occasions. But I don't recommend it, family. Because he's right. And I'm wrong when I disagree with him. His love is relentless towards us. He wants us to give ourselves to him humbly and completely, to love him preeminently. Do you hear that word, family? He wants you and for me to love him preeminently and unreservedly. You've heard me say this before. We are to seek the supremacy of Christ, our Lord, in all the things we do. Not just Sunday morning should we decide to join a group of people for corporate worship. We are to seek him on our way to work. That's probably the best place to be with him, on that freeway, right? And then when we get to work, and when we're at school, when we are out recreating, we need to remember he's not in a little tiny box and we pull him out on particular days. And that this is for us to bathe our minds in every day. I've been meeting with people throughout the week, heavy counseling loads, people I would love to be meeting with and didn't get to meet with that should have been calling for a meeting. But they're all upset. The world's got them all upset. They listen to CNN News and that bugs them. And they listen to Fox News and that bugs them. They listen to AKABC and it bugs them. They see all of this terrible stuff going on. There's terrible stuff going on at home between a husband and a wife, or a wife and her husband, or between the kids and the parents. Life stinks. And everything is focused on those things, but it's not focused on this one whom we've come to know as our God and Father, as our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We forget God is sovereign. Whatever the world's doing out there, it doesn't matter, folks, because God is the one who's in control. And life is going to take place. And he is there for you and for me to turn to and to spend time letting him speak to us. We shouldn't be listening to CNN if it disturbs us. We need to be reading his word and let him encourage us. And let him tell us off if we need to be told off. It's living. It's active. It's not just 4,000 years old or 2,000 years old, depending on which testament you're in. It is alive and well for every moment of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God's love is relentless and powerful. Have you fallen in love with him? That's a question. You need to answer that honestly between yourself and him. Have you really fallen in love with him? Do you have a high view of him? I'm finding a lot of your brothers and sisters don't have a particularly high view of our wonderful triune God who we know intimately at a personal level, or at least can have. In Acts 11, you might want to write it down. It's not in your notes. Acts 11, at the end of verse 26, it says this. I can't believe how many people miss this. It says this: the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, what's he saying? Most of you are going to say, well, those who followed Christ were first called Christians at Antioch. No, that's not what Luke is trying to convey to us. He is trying to tell us, and I really find this interesting, that the Christians didn't name themselves, but rather they were called, they were named Christians by those who were watching their lives. That's who named them Christians. People saw them living like Jesus Christ. I wonder if the same could be said today. Could someone say about your life? I had to ask myself this. Not particularly happy with the whole answer that I came up with. Could someone say the same about you? It's a humbling question. People look at you, do they think of Jesus Christ? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, I'd like you, if you would, to read aloud this with joy and with some strength in your voice. Let's read this together. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. You have it in your notes. And he said to him, now stop there. Who's the him? He said, Jesus is talking to this Jewish fellow, isn't he? So Jesus said, let's say it that way. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. How many times have you read that going through various gospels and took the time to say, I am lacking? Do you love him with your whole being? Are you in love with God, our Father, our Redeemer? Why are you in love with him? And it says, and a second is like it. You shall agape your neighbor as yourself. You shall seek your neighbor's best and greatest good at your expense. Is that you? These two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The life Jesus calls us to is absolute craziness in the eyes of the world. And it's very sad because it seems to be absolute craziness in the American church too when they think about this. It's fine and politically correct to believe in God. But to really love him, well, that's a whole different story. When you're in love with someone, it changes you. Everything changes when you're in love with someone. On December 27th, 1968. Yes, the dinosaurs had just died the year before. December 27th, 1968. I was up at Campus Crusade for Christ in Arrowhead Springs for a leadership training institute. The Campus Crusade team over at UCLA on the wrestling team, they had put together a scholarship for me to go up there. So but I got time off from work and they weren't going to pay me, but I still got to go. And that first afternoon in this huge, it's not quite an auditorium, but it was a huge room filled with collegians. And across the room, I saw this beautiful co-ed. Now, I wasn't going to meet her until the last day up there. We were up there a whole week. I wasn't going to meet her till the morning of our going down to the Rose Parade to share the gospel with as many people as we possibly could. But we were introduced. Now, I lived here, and she was going to college at San Jose State. But we wanted to spend more time together, so I'd go over and grab my little airplane. Back in those days, I had my pilot's license, so I got my Cessna 150 or 172 or my Piker Cherokee 140, and off I'd go for the weekend up to San Jose. And I'd get to stay with friends of mine that worked for IBM at the time up there. And I found that I enjoyed listening to this young woman who has just turned 21. I know I like listening to her. I like looking at her. I like talking to her. I wanted to find out the things that made her happy and the things that made her sad. I wanted to hold her hand. And once I held her hand, I wanted to hold her hand more. See, I'm falling in love. And at night, I wanted to have that embrace and that sweet little kiss goodnight. And as the months went by, I wanted to have a longer embrace at the door and a longer kiss. And throughout the week, she came from a very well-to-do family, didn't care for me very much. So she could afford to make phone calls, and she did, and I would write, and she would correct my grammar in English. But we wrote, and we called, and we wanted to spend time together, and within 9 months, we were married. See, I fell in love, and my life was changed. And it should be exactly the same way when we fall in love with Christ. You understand? We use words like prayer, talk, wanting to be with him. I mean, it costs a lot to drive up, and it took 7 hours to drive up, so I would fly up because it only took 2 hours in a private airplane. But do we really want to be with the Lord? Do we really want to talk to him? Do we really want to hear from him? Do we want to do the things that are pleasing? Do we learn the things that please him and then do them? You know, when you see the term, when you see the letters, G-O, D. What does that do to you? Think about it. Most of the people I've talked to run this by, when you see G-O-D, what does that mean? Well, it's a word. Yeah. God. You see, it's not, it's God. It's G-O-D. It's just God. When I see the letters G-O-D, I'm thinking about this guy who loved me, a sinner, a real creep, a person who violated every one of the commandments with the exception of being an adulterer, but really, I was an adulterer in terms of not worshiping him, worshiping myself. That could be adultery, but it was really idolatry. But at any rate, however you want to look at it, he laid down his life for me. He gave his life for me. I don't deserve it. I'm deserving a damnation in hell. I am a lousy, awful, terrible, bad person. But he loved me. I certainly didn't love him. When I saw G-O-D, common, oham. And that seems to be pretty much across the board in much of the church today. Just common, oham. Well, I want to see that change this morning. Should you not get real excited when you see J-E-S-U-S? It's just Jesus. No, it's Jesus, folks, and it's God, family. Would you show that first slide, please? Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. There in your notes it says, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars." We don't have that slide? Oh, I'm sorry. I wish I had two HD TV screens here, about 75 inches, so you could see what I was seeing when I was looking at it on my computer. But thank you, Lord, for the screen, and thank you, Lord, for the projector. I'm not complaining, real big. But that, look how beautiful that is. Now, as you look at that once again, and God made that. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and all the stars, all the stars. Now, we're just looking at the Milky Way, one segment of the Milky Way. That's it. That's all we're looking at. Isaiah 45, 18, it says, "For the Lord God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord," he says, "and there is no other." I'm it. I'm G-O-D. I'm God. I'm the Lord. Oh, it's gone. I'm sorry. Why do you think God made 350 billion galaxies, and that's a conservative figure? I mean, we only in the last, 100 years have really been able to begin to see the galaxies. You know, we were able to look up when we didn't have lights and we could see the Milky Way galaxy that we're a part of, but not all of it. And now we can see beyond and beyond and beyond and see over 350 billion of these galaxies. Why in the world do you think that God made so many of these galaxies that we couldn't even see until we had the Hubble telescope? Because God, I believe, wants us to understand he is a big wow. He is awesome. He just didn't make this place. He made 350 billion plus galaxies. He is a big deal. He is a very big deal. He is unfathomably big. Would you show the next slide, please? And just leave it up there. Look at that. Looking at a galaxy and star. I mean, That is amazing, family. God made that, and we are only recently able to go and see that. This is our God. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, it says, "For by him," meaning Jesus, "for by Jesus all things were created." You see, it's not J-E-S-U-S. It's Jesus. Jesus. "And all things are created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible." Now, the invisible, he's going to talk about principalities and things like that are talking about the spiritual realm. But likewise, think about it. The microscope. Only recently have we, with the microscope, in the last 100 years maybe, been able to see those creepy, crawly little things that are in our water that we drink. You know, those creepy, crawly things that are on your pillow at night. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can't even see what's on your skin right now, but it's creepy, crawly, and ugly. He made all of that, family. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. I mean, that's a big deal. He made it. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. I mean, that's pretty all-powerful. That's pretty cool. This is Jesus. This isn't J-E-S-U-S. This is Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. Now, Jackie, stand up. Please, stand up. I won't embarrass you, honestly. There's the church, family. There's the church. Elaine, you're the church. Gary Marsha, you're the church. Ed, you're the church. We're each one who are in Christ Jesus, the church. And he's our head. But do we listen to him? Are we crazy about him? Are we in love with him? I mean, really? Is he God? Or just G-O-D? This is who you came to worship this morning, folks. Is this who you came into? And I am going to sing to him. Or did you come in? I'm singing to the G-O-D. And he is the head, the body of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That is, in everything he might be preeminent. Where have we heard that before? Is he preeminent in your lives? Is he? For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. All of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is J-U-S-U-S. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Would you show that next slide, please? Look at that, folks. I mean, if the room was dark, I mean, this is the world he created for you and for me. It's beautiful, absolutely, stunningly beautiful. He created that for you and for me, this G-O-D, this J-U-S-U-S. He created that for you and me. He's not ho-hum. Did you know that the average maple tree has over 6 million leaves on it? Now you may, why in the world are you telling me that? Because you didn't know. I didn't know. 6 million. I mean, why didn't he make it with just one great big leaf? Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that, family? I mean, stop it. I already told you. Look here. This is the big island of Hawaii. And, you know, it's going to go out here. You know, the Hawaiian chain, you know. It's not like I love going there every summer for the last 22 years because we have a timeshare there and it's already paid for. But isn't that gorgeous? Absolutely gorgeous. And he made it out of volcanoes. And there's still one going. And it's going big time. Big time. And that's my term. That's not Trump's. Big time. So, next slide, please. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Think of the artistic part of our Heavenly Father. I mean, Jesus created this. Look at that really neat waterfall. I mean, what an absolutely stunning part of creation. Next slide, please. Now, girls, this is the one you were talking to in the garden. Now, I have no idea what the serpent looked like. But look at this. Is not this serpent really? Look at the design. Look at the creativity. Look at the ugliness. Now, but did you know that there are over 3,000 different species of snake? Now, if you live with the Langtons, you would know that. And talk to Ryan. But 3,000 different species of snakes, and only 375 of them are venomous, which helps them to immobilize their prey so it can't run away. Snakes live in all sorts of environments. They live in the desert. They live in trees. They live in mountains. They live in jungles. They live in the water. The world's largest snake is the green anaconda, according to Google, which can reach lengths of over 26.25 feet long. It can eat a whole deer at one setting. And then the smallest snake is the Barbados thread snake, which is only 10 centimeters long. That's 3.94 inches. And the interesting thing about this thing, he's no bigger around than a strand of spaghetti. And he's blind. And he lives off of termites and ants. 3,000 species. I mean, Father, why didn't you just give us one for each continent? But he gave us over 3,000 different species of snake. Can we have that next slide, please? Isn't that beautiful? Amazon. And did you know that in 1 square mile, just 1 square mile of the Amazon jungle, there are over 3,000 different species of trees? 1 square mile. 3,000 different ones. He made hundreds of different kinds of bananas. This is G-O-D. This is not G-O-D. This is G-O-D. This is cool. This is exciting. This is our God. This is J-U-S-U-S. He created all these things. Did you know that a caterpillar has over 228 separate, distinct muscles? In its head. That's quite a few for a bug. People aren't sure I have one muscle, a brain. And plants, you know, they take in carbon dioxide. We have carbon dioxide detectors in our homes so as to tell us if this poisonous gas has reached a particular level, we need to do something about it because it'll kill us. And it takes this poison in and breathes out for us, which we need to survive. Oxygen. G.O.D. did that. G.O.D. did that. These poison-swallowing, life-giving plants came from an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny, itsy-bitty, tiny, you know. Remember that song back in the 60s? Teeny-weeny, yellow polka-dot bikini? Yeah, don't remember that one. But these plants, they came from itty-bitty, teeny-weeny seeds that were in the dirt. Look around you. Look at the people in front of you. Look at the people to the side of you. Look at the people behind you. Don't laugh at them. That's not nice. You know, they have different hair colors. Now, some of them, they got it out of a bottle, but, but they have different hair color, different eye color, different skin color. They're different heights, different weights, different shapes, sizes. Our God, He gives us such a variety. We should be awed. We should be awed every time we think about G-O-D. We should be thinking awesome every time we think of J-E-S-U-S. Whatever our Lord's reasons for such diversity, creativity, and sophistication in the universe and on earth and in our own bodies, the point of it all is to give Him glory. To get up in the morning and look in the mirror, and you might say, as I say, oh my. But to give Him glory. You know, I don't look like that guy across the room that Kathy saw at Campers Crusade. In her mind's eye, she can still see that guy. That's not the guy. But I'm still here. And I'm here because God made it so. And you're here because He made it so. His art speaks of Himself. His art is reflecting who He is and what He is like. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Just as you were seeing in those photographs. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims His handiwork. It's about time the church started declaring the glory of God. And remember, He's G-O-D. And not G-O-D. He tells us here in nature, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech. Their words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. His creation speaks of Him. And His kids have amnesia. Most of us know that we are supposed to love and fear God. That we are supposed to read our Bibles and to pray so that we can get to know Him better. That we are supposed to worship Him with all of our lives. But actually living it out is challenging, isn't it? It confuses us when loving Jesus is hard. Shouldn't it be easy to love a Savior and a God who is so wonderful? When we love Jesus because we feel we should love Him, instead of genuinely loving Him from the heart, from our minds, united with our hearts, we've forgotten who Jesus really is. Our amnesia is flaring up. Do you love Him, family? Are you spending really too much time watching the boob tube and becoming a boob Christian? Do you have time for television? Do you have time for magazines and for books that have nothing to do with Him speaking into your life and conforming you to the image of His wonderful Son? The time has come and the time has passed and the time is now that the Granada Hills Community Church needs to be a legitimate group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to demonstrate that in our everyday lives, wherever it is we go, whatever it is we're saying. Do you realize when you're talking to a brother or a sister in Christ, please be listening, family, that when you're talking to another brother or sister in Christ, you're talking to Jesus? then how is it that we can speak such ugly things to one another? It's because we have amnesia. It's because, I don't know if it's amnesia. All I know is that we're not talking to Jesus. We're talking to another person in the flesh, and we're acting like anything but a child of the Most High God. We need to spend more time with him, family, and he'll change us. We'll understand that when we're talking to another brother or sister in Christ, we're talking to Jesus. And we'll talk to them in the way we're supposed to, in love, seeking their best and their greatest good, not being selfish. We need to get rid of the amnesia. We need to remember who our Father is, who his Son is, who the Holy Spirit is. We need to remember G-O-D and J-E-S-U-S. And what they're really like. And we'll be nuts about them. And we'll fall in love with them. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Our Father, as we prepare to come before you and to come to the table, you know that the table is something very special for us. Exceedingly special. Not just simply an ordinance that you gave us, do it. We want to, Father. Those of us that are crazy, we love you. We love you so much. We want to remember what your Son did for us on the cross. We want to thank him once again for the great salvation that becomes ours because you, Father, were so gracious towards us. You extended your favor in our direction. And you gave us this marvelous gift of faith to trust Jesus to be our Lord, our Master, and we to be his, want to be slaves, to see him as being preeminent in our lives. So, Father, we acknowledge your holiness. We acknowledge your Son being so humble. And we ask you to forgive us when we do not act like the separated ones, when we do not act humbly. We acknowledge that you are ever present. You are G-O-D. You're awesome. You are all powerful. There is nothing too difficult for you. All kinds of things difficult for us, but nothing difficult for you. And our strength comes from Christ our Lord. And we are to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Instead of strong in our mouth and the strength of our vocabulary or lack therein. Oh, Father, you're the creator of billions of galaxies. You're the Father of grace and mercy and kindness. And we want to embrace you. We want to embrace you with your word. We want to embrace you with musical prayers. We want to fall deeply, deeply in love with you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, help us. Help us to do that. Please do so. In the name of your Son, I ask. Amen.